Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Our energy fields are actually much bigger than we think they are. So we are all sitting and standing and walking through each other's energy fields all the time. And what's fascinating is that once energy bumps into energy, it can affect it. Sometimes people have such negative energy or their energy is not a good match for ours. And that impacts us in a way that does not feel good.
Hello, welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, ready for another fun hour with you. Thanks for showing up. Well, you just heard a snippet from today's guest, here to help us with the idea of feeling better by clearing out the trapped energy within our living space and within our relationships. I know it works for me, so I'm looking forward to learning more and sharing it with you, so you too can improve your mood, your health, and your life. But before we head to that happy place, I have a rather somber topic to begin with. So, you know me, let's dive right in. Because right now, it's time for the healthcare hazard of the week. Wi-Fi exiles and wireless refugees. Today, I'd like to share with you an email I received from a gentleman whom I've never met. He has written to me in the past and has shared his health situation, a rather complicated mess of sensitivity to electromagnetic frequencies, Lyme disease, Morgellons disease, which is a painful condition which can cause fiber-like growths on the skin and is sometimes associated with Lyme disease. Now, this man is very well educated, having experience in architectural design, audio acoustics and wave propagation theory, electronics engineering, both analog and digital radio communications theory, cellular biology, pharmaceutical and chemical patent histories, physics, and more. So intelligent describes him. Now, I don't know his entire story, but I do know that his sensitivity to wireless devices such as cell phones and computers, to the frequencies given off by cell towers, caused him to lose his job as he was unable to be anywhere around these frequencies for even a short period of time without falling ill and requiring medication and rest. I hadn't heard from him in months and just received an update, which I will share shortly. But first, I want to lightly review and explain how and why people become sensitive. And this is a quote from one of the authors of the Bioinitiative Report, Cindy Sage, whom I interviewed and shared with you as a guest maybe a year or so ago. And you can find that interview at the website speakupandstayalive.com. Go to the archives page, and I would encourage you to listen to that again. She says, "Human beings are bioelectrical systems." We all know that. Our hearts and brains are regulated by internal bioelectrical signals. Environmental exposures to artificial EMFs, that's electromagnetic frequencies, can interact with the fundamental biological processes in the human body. Now, in today's world, everyone is exposed to two types of electromagnetic frequencies. One are extremely low frequency electromagnetic fields from electrical and electronic appliances and power lines. And then number two, there's radio frequency radiation from wireless devices such as cell phones and cordless phones, cellular antennas and towers and smart meters too. And you may have heard people talk about dirty electricity. Dirty or stray electricity refers to high frequency transients, harmonics, and other noise on electrical wiring. Now, it's not noise that you can hear, but it's still there. It can be generated inside buildings by electronic equipment, and it can enter your home through wiring from nearby sources, including wireless telecommunication antennas that are connected to the power grid. Now, when the capacity of these distribution lines are exceeded, the current can no longer run on the line like it's supposed to, and therefore it finds another route and runs along the ground and enters homes via grounded water pipes. So, that's a mini lesson in man-made frequencies. So, what is electrohypersensitivity, or EHS for short? EHS is defined by the World Health Organization as a phenomenon where individuals experience adverse health effects while in the vicinity of devices emanating electric, magnetic, or electromagnetic fields. In Sweden, it is classified as a disability, and they even have healthcare facilities with very low levels of exposure to electromagnetic fields and radio frequency radiation. And I mention that because in hospitals in the United States, the levels of exposure are extreme. And I know this because I carry a handheld measuring meter with me at every doctor or hospital visit just to measure the amount of microwave radiation I'm being hit with just by entering the building. So what are the symptoms of EHS? The primary EHS symptoms are headaches, particularly tension headaches along the sides of the head and the temple area, heart palpitations and pressure in the chest, skin burning, redness, rashes, and tingling, particularly in the face and arms. Here's a big one many people are experiencing because of this, especially because of all of the wireless gizmos they have in their bedrooms. Difficulty sleeping, where sleep is interrupted, is light, dreamless, and leaves the person feeling tired in the morning. Tinnitus, or ringing in the ears. Fatigue and tiredness during the day, even after many hours of sleep, where tiredness pervades the day. Cognitive decline, memory and concentration difficulties, a brain fog. There's also secondary symptoms such as anxiety and tension, inability to heal quickly from viruses and bacteria, lightheadedness or dizziness, nausea, mood swings, arm, finger, and leg twitching, depression. And what's interesting about these symptoms is they're kind of general and could be indicative of many other diseases or problems and often go untreated and undiagnosed. Symptoms can vary from patient to patient depending on their physical biology and their exposure intensity and duration. Symptoms quickly improve when away from these sources, particularly when the person moves away from computers, fluorescent lighting, transformers, wireless antennas, cell and cordless phones, appliances, and out of proximity to cell phone towers, electrical substations, and power lines. Then symptoms recur on returning to the irradiated environment. And over time, sensitivity is increased to smaller and smaller amounts of exposure. So in other words, if you are already a sensitive person, or if you are silently living or working in a high EMF environment for a period of time and build a sensitivity to it, it gradually takes less and less exposure to affect you. And that leads me to this email I received from this man forced to move from his apartment with nowhere to go to find relief. He writes, "Hello, Pat. It's been a difficult time since I last wrote, but I'm still somewhat alive. I've spent quite a lot of time in various locales around northern Wisconsin in December and January, and much too much time in my car. I haven't been doing much internet of late, as Wi-Fi is the only way I can communicate with the greater world. I'm currently staying with a friend in a north suburb of the Twin Cities where I grew up. I find it not survivable for me here. Anyone who thinks living in a car is inexpensive and fun should really give it a try, as I've spent more money on car repairs, motels, and funky restaurants in 3 months than a full year's Section 8 apartment rent. As expected and foretold, my health has continued to decline like a skateboard toward H-E, double hockey stick, if you know what I mean. Tom Wheeler should get a nice bonus and job promotion, as it would seem he and other change agents have all the filthy bases covered. So much for graft and corruption. I've been thinking about heading south after the next round of car repairs, as the specter of freezing to death seems downright unpleasant and inefficient. I've never been to Arkansas or Tennessee, so may just drive down in that general direction soon. All this to say I have no plan and very little hope. I wish I could say something pleasant. There. Best, Carl." Wow. And this is an example of the social aspect of electrohypersensitivity, and not just the psychological or physical or medical. Can you imagine having to live in your car, traveling around to find a place to light that isn't bombarded by the frequencies given off by cell towers? I mean, just look around as you're driving from your home to the grocery store. Massive cell towers everywhere. And what's even more sinister, there are cell antennas all over the place that you don't even see or know about. Almost every senior housing has cell antennas on them. Hospitals have them on top of their buildings. And what about stealth antennas? Yes, stealth, I said. Those hidden in gas station signs, flagpoles, church steeples, and even dressed up as fake saguaro cactus or palm trees. Recently, I was a speaker at a local recreation/senior facility, and as we pulled into the parking lot, my meter registered extremely high numbers. Yet upon gazing the landscape, I couldn't see any cell towers. The reading was so high, I knew the culprit had to be somewhere really close by. And sure enough, I got out of my car and looked at the flagpole, proudly waving the American flag in the breeze. The flagpole was a cover for cell antennas. Yet, I'll bet you $1,000 no one but me and the city officials know about this. Meantime, the poor folks inside, running on the track, working out, thinking they're doing something spectacular for their health, are getting fried and zapped without their informed consent. And Carl mentioned Tom Wheeler. Tom Wheeler is the chairman of the FCC. President Obama put a wolf in sheep's clothing when he appointed the former chief lobbyist for the wireless industry to act as the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, which supposedly regulates the safety of wireless devices. Well, this is yet another astonishing conflict of interest, wouldn't you say, in the choice of appointed federal regulators, who better resemble wolves guarding the sheep rather than advocates for the health of the public at large. Tom Wheeler was head of the CTIA from 1992 to 2004, known as the Wireless Association, originally known as CTIA, Cellular Telephone Industries Association, and now he's been appointed to chairman of the FCC. Well, this is no different than having a tobacco CEO appointed as Surgeon General of the United States. Tom Wheeler made his living defending the wireless industry from all allegations of health hazards, even when the scientific data showed a link between cell phone radiation and cancer. How's that for protecting you and me? Another good old boy money talks back-scratching network, if ever there was one. Well, I tell this today to create awareness. Our wireless gizmos and gadgets are not without harmful effects. If we continue to radiate the population, our little children in schools as Wi-Fi and computers have replaced books, our seniors as hospitals, nursing homes, senior housing proudly tout wireless capabilities with giant antennas on the roof, if we continue at this pace, we may all end up like Carl, a Wi-Fi exile, a wireless refugee. And to quote a previous guest, Kim Goldberg, an award-winning journalist, author, and poet from British Columbia, she writes, "Where do you go when an invisible matrix spanning the globe is making you sick? These Wi-Fi exiles and the special sanctuaries cropping up around the world to keep them safe may indeed be harbingers of a future we are all hurtling toward." And sanctuaries safe from wireless are cropping up throughout the United States. You may have heard of Green Bank, West Virginia. It's not a formal EHS sanctuary, but a small community that is located within the United States National Radio Quiet Zone, established in 1958 to shield the radio astronomy telescopes there from radio interference, and a lot of folks are moving there. There's the Silent Dome Spa in Grass Valley, California. This EMF Silent House is located in the Sierra Nevada Mountains, 10 miles south of Grass Valley and more than 2 miles from any phone masts. Colorado has an EM Sensitivity Research Institute in Rockville, Colorado. In Snowflake, Arizona, there is a multiple chemical sensitivity and electronic hypersensitivity community. And according to the website, a rural area outside of Snowflake, Arizona, has become a haven for people with severe MCS and electrical sensitivity. In Wisconsin, 22 acres in a southwest Wisconsin town that is a safe zone. So people are being forced to respond to this negative and unwanted health hazard by creating safe zones so they don't have to live like gypsy nomads in their cars. So, what can you do to protect yourself? Yep, two things. You can either get rid of it or you can avoid it. I do and have done both. For my health and the health of my family and pets, I've removed all wireless from my home. I've ditched the wireless router, and I connect to the internet via Ethernet cable. It gives me faster and safer internet access, too. I don't use or carry a cell phone. And I bought some meters, handheld effective meters, that can measure the amount of exposure wherever I am, so I know if I can safely stay there, limit my time, or simply avoid the place. Now, I never intended to offer meters on our website, but due to the amount of requests, you can now purchase a meter for yourself. Simply go to the website, speakupandstayalive.com, speakupandstayalive.com, all spelled out, and click the tab that says Stop Smart Meters. There you will find a few meters that I've pre-selected for you as being user-friendly, easy to use, and at the lowest price on the internet. The lowest price yet effective meter is $121, no tax, and some free gifts. Just visit speakupandstayalive.com and go to the tab that says Stop Smart Meters. Alternatively, if you don't want to purchase a meter and would like for me to come to your home or office with my meters to assess your living or workspace, I'd be happy to do so through the Healthy Home Group. It's under $100 and a few extra for mileage depending upon where you live, and it is so worth knowing if you are silently sensitizing yourself to these unnatural man-made frequencies. Just call me to arrange for a convenient time. I'd love to meet you and help you to stay healthy. 440-725-5462. 440-725-5462. 440-725-5462. I really hope I never get another sad letter like this one. But I fear that as the powers that be continue to blanket the earth with these harmful frequencies, that we are just seeing an omen of things to come. I wish that hospitals and doctors' offices of all places would take heed and hardwire their space so that sick people aren't weakened even further upon entering a supposed place to heal. I mean, it simply doesn't make sense to carry on like this and trust that the FCC or anyone else is really looking out for us. Just like tobacco and asbestos. Let's wait until millions of people are harmed to wake up and make changes. Now, I'm surely not suggesting we toss technology out. Let's just use it responsibly. It's simple to hardwire and still enjoy all that technology has to offer without making people sick. So hospitals, doctors, nurses, anyone out there in the health field, do what you can to wake up the management. And patients, if you really knew how much you were being harmed every time a nurse walks into the room with a rolling Wi-Fi computer cart, you'd try to do something about it. All you have to do is bring a meter with you and make the invisible visible. Come on, let's not go the way of Carl, exiled from our homes, our friends, our jobs, our lives. Remember, you have to speak up and stay alive. Do you or a loved one need to rehabilitate after a hospital stay and don't know where to go? With so many choices, how do you safely choose? Well, I have the answer. The Welsh Home, located in Rocky River, Ohio. Let's spend the next 2 minutes with Lauren Teschner to get some advice. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Lauren, how does the Welsh Home help patients transition back home?
We establish goals on day one of them admitting to the Welsh Home and make sure that they can reach those goals before they go home. And we do that through physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, nursing needs, and also the social work piece of it. We have a social worker on staff who's going to make sure that the patient is safe to go home, make sure that they have all the equipment in their home that they're going to need once they return home, and make sure that it's going to be a successful transition. We would never want to transition someone back to their home that we knew was not going to succeed. So we want to make sure that we do our best to accomplish their goals for a safe return home.
Thank you so much, Lauren.
You're welcome.
The Welsh Home offers state-of-the-art skilled rehabilitation therapy on site to meet the individual needs of each and every resident. Whether you are looking for short-term or long-term care, the Welsh Home can help. And you don't have to be Welsh to call the Welsh Home your home. Call them to arrange for a tour. 440-331-0420. That's 440-331-0420. Or visit welshhome.com.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.
You are listening to Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio, and I am your hostess, Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety. And today, we're going to learn how to create a harmonious living space. That's right, a serene, harmonious home, a vibrant, thriving office, an inviting place that beckons you as soon as you walk through the door. Does this describe where you live or work? Well, if not, it may be time for space clearing. And with us today is a returning guest, Alana Sheeran, the podcast host of Create Your Magical Life, who knows how to do this and can help guide you through the process. Welcome to the show, Alana.
Thank you so much. Happy to be back.
Yeah, I say welcome back. Well, now, what exactly is space clearing? Is it similar to feng shui?
So there are lots of different people who use the word space clearing, and it can mean different things to different people. The technique that I use stems from feng shui a long time ago, but it has been refined and simplified. So I actually, it's complementary to feng shui, but I am not, that is not my area of expertise. So I work with the energy, and then I recommend people actually speak to someone who can help them with the feng shui aspect.
Okay. So how did you come to know about this, and what background do you have that allows you to guide others to improve their space and ultimately their lives?
Well, I have always been an intuitive person, and I shut it down for a long, long time in my 20s and 30s. And then when my son was stillborn, which we talked about on a previous show, I had an experience that opened me back up to my spiritual self. And what happened in that moment is, as I was grieving, I started following my heart more again, and I started doing Reiki and Kundalini yoga and all of these energy practices. And what it led me to was something that's simply called energy clearing. And again, a lot of people use the words energy clearing, and they mean very different things to very different people. And what the energy clearing that I was led to, and I had it done for me, and then I learned how to do it, is simply removing the energetic blocks that build up within us. So it could be from trauma that we've experienced at some point in our lives. It could be from repetitive thought patterns. It could be from previous lifetimes. It could be from really anything. It could be that you were sitting next to someone on the train who was having a really horrible day and just leaking negative energy, and you got to sit in that energy field for an hour, and you walk away feeling terrible, and you don't know why. So the technique that I learned helped me to get rid of that for myself and for other people. And then from there, I learned how to do the same thing for spaces that I do for people and relationships and other things like that.
Well, as you spoke about sitting on the train next to someone with negative energy, I know that I can feel that with people. And I as I look back on my life, I think I've gotten rid of, if you want to use that term, people who leak that negative energy that after spending time with them, I just think I can't be with this person any longer. And I think you're kind of picking up on what other people are putting out there. And I don't know if you could clear the energy and still hang out with these folks, or if it's just something where you have to say, hey, we're done.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think it could happen either way. One of the things that all of us can learn to do is to clear our own energy fields on a regular basis. And we can use visualization for that. You can learn an energy clearing technique for that. You can have someone else clear you for that. Very shortly, I'll have a meditation on my website that people can access, that they can listen to, that will help them clear their energy. What's so interesting is we know that we're all energy. We know that we're all just walking, vibrating atoms and particles. And our energy fields are actually much bigger than we think they are. So we are all sitting in, standing in, walking through each other's energy fields all the time. And what's fascinating is that we take, you know, once energy bumps into energy, it can affect it. Sometimes people have such negative energy, or I don't like to say that people have negative energy, but their energy is not a good match for ours.
Good way to put it.
and that impacts us in a way that does not feel good. Mm-hmm. And we may still love that person dearly, but we may just feel that we can't spend a lot of time with them. Now, if it's a family member, that gets a little more complicated because we may have to spend time with them. And then you can learn energy shielding techniques. You can, one of my favorite, and it's so simple, is you just imagine yourself in a bubble of light. You just sit there and you picture it around you. And if you want to, you can put your arms out and pretend that you're feeling it. And you just affirm that only energy that's in service of your highest good is allowed to enter that bubble. The great thing for people who work in, you know, busy, full offices and cubicles, and you're interacting with people that some you love, some you don't, it feels like you're just using your imagination, and you are, but it actually does have an impact.
Excellent. I will keep that in mind. Now, when we're talking about the space around us, how would we know that we need to pay attention to the space around us? What kind of signs or feelings, what would be an indication that, hey, we need to think about this?
So what a lot of my clients come to me with is a feeling of not being comfortable in their space, just never really they can't quite figure out how to get the furniture to work, and they just don't feel at home in their space, or it feels cold, or there's just something that's not quite right about it. Another big indicator is if you don't sleep well, if you toss and turn, if you have insomnia, there is probably something in your space that is impacting your sleep. Now, there could also be other things in your health or, you know, what you're eating, but there's probably something in your space that's impacting you. Certainly, I have people who feel afraid in their spaces. Who feel like there's a negative energy, they can feel that clearly. That's a huge sign that a space clearing would be helpful for you. If you know anything about the history of the space, that's a good thing. When I was learning space clearing, there was a conversation about a house that my teachers actually called the divorce house, because every family that moved in there within a couple of years would end up divorcing and moving out. And if you know that the family before you ended up in some sort of trauma, you might want to think about having the space cleared.
I was just going to mention that about buying or renting a home or an office space. You know, what can we look for and what can we do to remove that leftover energy? Is it something we can do ourselves, or do we need a guide such as yourself?
There are absolutely things you can do. A lot of people will use sage or incense or some sort of smoke, and they'll clear the energy of their space. You can even walk through your home and clap really loudly, and that will help break up stuck energy in the space. The space clearing that I do, the difference is that I first go in and work on that level of chi, that level of life force energy. And that is often where emotional stuckness will hang out, like the divorce house, right? If there was a lot of fighting in that house, if there was some trauma in that house, that energy can stay there. But then after I clear that and get that moving, I actually look at the energy that's coming from the earth. And we all know that the earth has major stress release points and fault points. This sounds a little wacky, and I'll be honest and say that we don't have scientific proof of this at this point, and I have seen incredible things happen for people from this work. So the earth has different stress release points, and when your bed, for example, is on top of a stress release point from the earth, it can feel like depression. It can feel like there's this weight on your chest. I can walk into a space now and feel the earth energy because it feels so heavy. And so you may or may not be sensitive to energy, and that's fine. If you are and you walk into a space and it feels really heavy, that's probably the earth energy. That's a big thing I look for if people aren't sleeping. So I clear that. And then what I do is I actually go in and I clear the gunk that comes from electromagnetic radiation and all of our technology, all of our appliances. I can actually shrink that so that you're not sitting in the middle of it.
I'm glad you're bringing this up. I had in the past a gentleman who was from Austria. He was a third generation water dowser, and we did a couple segments on geopathic stress within our homes, and we talked about our beds. And I'm a real big proponent about being concerned about the technology within our home, the electromagnetic fields that are just clearly not in harmony with nature or our bodies that emanate from cell phones and wireless routers and portable phones and chargers and dimmer switches and our electrical appliances. And you go into some people's bedrooms and you feel like you're in a Best Buy showroom. Everything is going on. And how could you possibly sleep well with all of that? So I'm so thrilled that you brought up the whole EMF concept for people to become aware of.
Technology is a part of our lives in a way that it never used to be. And even just having plants next to technology can be helpful because they can absorb that energy. When I first learned this technique, actually before I learned it, I had my house cleared by someone else, by one of my teachers. And about a year later, we brought in a new piece of technology for our computer. We brought in a new router. And I was sitting in front of the computer and I thought, oh my gosh, why do I feel so terrible? I just feel terrible here. And I suddenly realized, oh, I'm sitting in the field of this router. And I hadn't been since the house had been cleared. And so I was able to immediately clear it and then I felt fine. The technique that I know is simple and anyone can learn how to do it. It's incredibly powerful though. I have seen people get job promotions out of the blue after their space was cleared. I've seen people uncover health issues that they didn't know were happening, and they caught them early after their space was cleared. I've seen family dynamics change. People start to sleep better. It really is fascinating.
I know that I seem to be very conscious about any space around me, even if it's temporary, such as sitting in a restaurant. I can feel uncomfortable just based on the layout of the room or the initial feeling that I get there, which then led me to think about hospital rooms. I spent a bit of time with my mom when she's in and out of the hospital settings. That becomes your living space, and those tiny little rooms are filled with the energies of thousands of previous patients and certainly not in harmony with anyone's energy. So is there anything we can do to alleviate that uncomfortable feeling in a temporary space?
Yeah, it's really important to focus, to be aware of that. There are simple things you can do, certainly on your own, again, to help make the space feel better. You can do some, you know, some little touches if you're going to be there for a long time, bring in a plant if they'll let you or whatever, add some pops of color. But yes, you're exactly right. That space is holding the energy of all the people who've been in it before. Those hospital beds have had so much trauma in them and so much pain. So again, it's difficult to do some of these things in a hospital because you don't want to have smoke in a hospital. You don't want to have fire in a hospital if there's you know, you can't light a candle, which is something that I often recommend. If there's an oxygen issue, you know, they often don't like that. So walking around and clapping, again, is a really good way to break up some stuck energy. You can also just meditate in the space or pray in the space, if that is what you do. You can call in positive energy and then visualize that bubble again. Mm-hmm. Put a bubble around the room and affirm that only energy that is of that is serving the highest good of the people in the space is allowed to enter. So again, it sounds very simple and simplistic, and yet it can be effective. Mm-hmm.
Now, if folks listening want to pursue this and work with you, you don't have to be in their hometown. You can do this remotely. So just explain how we could further explore this process with you.
Yeah, if anyone is curious about it, you can go to my website, which is alanashearen.com, alanashearen.com. Click on Work With Me and Space Clearing, and you can set up a free 15-minute consultation. We will talk about what's happening in your space and what you are hoping for if we cleared the space. Also, I do work with businesses as well, and I have seen, you know, revenues increase and various other things happen. And I've also seen so much magic happen from it.
I'm glad you said magic, because I was going to quote what you said on your website. When there is an alignment between you and your environment, magic happens. Your life opens up in a beautiful and often unexpected ways. And I know all of us could use a bit of magic. So I'm going to ask everyone this week to think about your environment, your living space, your personal space, and try to make some healthy and positive changes. And if you need some help as a guide, please reach out to Alana at alanasheeran.com. Again, what a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much for sharing you and your wisdom with us today.
Thank you, Pat. I'm happy to be back.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.
You're listening to Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio, and I am your hostess, Pat Rulo, always bringing you topics that are seldom heard on mainstream media. And you can find all of our previous archived shows from all the way back when at the website speakupandstayalive.com. Just go to the archive link, Radio Archives, and you can listen to all of the past programming. That's where you can also purchase the book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, the Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide, something that everybody needs in their arsenal of patient safety tips. As I say, you don't even have to read it. Just bring it to the hospital with you. Lay it on the tray table. It is a visual, a sign that says to your healthcare providers that you are someone special. You are an e-patient. You are enabled, equipped, empowered, and eager to get out alive. That's at speakupandstayalive.com. It's only $19.95 plus a few dollars for shipping. That's a small price to pay for the information that just might save your life or the life of a loved one. That's speakupandstayalive.com. Well, it's time to lighten the mood, don't you think? And that can only mean one thing. It's time to play...
Shocking news from around the world.
And who better to lighten things up and add a little kookiness to the show than Bob and our friend Rush L. from Dr. Very Busy's office in New York. Welcome to you both. Welcome, Bob.
Oh, I'm glad to be here again.
Oh, my God. Thank you for having me. It's so good to see you, Bob. Bob, thanks for being
Michelle,
here.
Calm down.
Oh, God, I'm so excited.
All right, guys. Okay. We are going to make this the geopathic stress edition.
Oh, my gosh. I'm already stressed. I don't need anything else added to this. What?
Let's just get stressed, okay?
All right. Geopathic stress is when the Earth's electromagnetic field becomes distorted. The Earth resonates with an electromagnetic frequency similar to human brain waves. But underground streams, sewers, water pipes, electricity tunnels, and underground railways, mineral formations, and geological faults can distort the natural resonance of the Earth and therefore creating geopathic stress. So it's rather a natural form of electromagnetic frequencies. But then we have man-made EMF, electromagnetic pollution, that's generated by most electrical devices, cables, transformers, hair dryers, cell phones, shavers, microwaves. Geopathic stress has been found to be the common factor in most serious and long-term illnesses and psychological conditions. Not that it necessarily causes it, but it surely contributes to it. So that is the addition for today.
Well, let's see what we have to say. Let's see what we can do.
All right, I'm so ready.
All right. So we've got the shocking news number one. Geopathic interference is not harmful to all animals. Is that a geopathic shock or... is it a croc?
I think it's a croc. I think some animals can get by with it.
Oh my God, I also think it's a croc. I'm thinking if it's bad for us, it's probably worse for little animals. What do you think, Bob?
Oh, I think there's some animals that can survive it.
Okay. Yes, Rush L. and Bob, you are right.
Oh.
For instance, bees, ants, flies, snakes, and also cats are actually attracted to geopathic areas, and they stay healthy in those locations at the same time. So if you have a cat that likes to sleep on the bed, that's probably good evidence that the bed is located within a geopathic zone. and you may want to move your bed to another location or sleep in a different room for a while. Often people are aware that they sleep much better at their sister's or parents' house, or that their children behave differently as soon as they change rooms. Now, with grown-ups, it can take up to several weeks to discharge from geopathic stress. So that's pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah, it's real interesting. I'm able to sleep, so maybe I'm doing okay.
Well, as far as sleeping, Bob, they also say to avoid metal bed frames and spring mattresses as they bundle and reflect geopathic energies. They also charge easily from electromagnetic fields and should be replaced with wooden frames and latex or foam mattresses. And as I said before, watch your pets, because cats are attracted to geopathic stress. Their favorite places are usually on the grids or even crossings. Cats are attracted to stress, but dogs try to avoid it. So whatever favorite spots they choose in the house can give us hints about existing earth energy drains.
That's very interesting.
Oh my God, I have a cat that loves to sleep on my bed. No wonder I'm such a stress rush owl.
Well, that could be it, rush owls.
All right, here we got the shocking news, number two. In terms of the plant kingdom, cactus and palms and fruit trees can resist geopathic stress. Is that a geopathic shock or is it a crock?
I'm going to say it's a shock.
So you think it's true?
I think it's true.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to guess that it's a crock just to be the devil's advocate, because I can't imagine a fruit tree that would love that kind of a thing, Bob.
Well, they probably wouldn't like it, but they're there.
Guess what? Rochelle is right.
Hooray, I did so good.
You outthought me there.
Oh.
Yes, guys, this is a crock. Of the three that I mentioned, only cactus and palms do well under geopathic stress, whereas most of the fruit-growing trees will fall ill when they are planted on geopathic stress zones.
Well, I'm glad to know that. I'll have to watch what's going on. And I think I finished.
Are you ready to move on?
Let's do number three.
All right, the shocking news number three. Bees give up to 40% more honey if their hives are located above underground water veins. Is that a geopathic shock or is it a crock?
I'm going to say it's a crock.
You don't think that's true?
I don't think it's true.
Oh my gosh, we're talking about all these pests like ants and bees and wasps and everything. So I think if those kind of pests enjoy it, I would imagine the bees would enjoy it. So I'm going to say that that's a shock.
Are you going to say shock or crock?
I say shock. What did you say?
I said crock.
Oh my gosh.
Rochelle, guess what? It is a shock.
Wow.
Many beekeepers know how to douse for water and take advantage of that old knowledge. Wasps build their nests preferably where geopathic lines cross. So if wasps start nesting in a house wall, that is not a good sign.
Well, we had some nest here once before, so that was pretty a bad sign.
And you know what else, Bob? Termites.
Oh my gosh. Termites? I don't even want to know about those guys.
Well, remember the termites in Arizona?
We had a bunch of them, so they were right there on top of our geopathic
stress.
Oh my gosh.
Even ladybugs thrive with that type of energy.
Uh-oh, we had some of those here in Cleveland.
Oh my gosh, I hate ladybugs, especially those new Peruvian ones. When they bite, they hurt so bad. Did you ever get bit by a Peruvian ladybug?
No, I stay away from them.
Oh my gosh. All right, guys, let's continue with the shocking news number four. It's a good idea to build a house where lightning has struck. Is that a geopathic shock or is it a crock?
Oh my God, I think it sounds like a crock because maybe it might strike twice in the same place. Or is that impossible? What do you think, Bob?
I think it's a shock. I think it's wise not to build where lightning's hit before. You said, is it a good idea to build where lightning hit? And I say no.
So you're saying it's a crock?
I say it's a crock then. It's a crock.
All right. I don't know who said shock or crock or whatever, but the whole point is never build a home at a place where lightning has struck.
Oh.
This is because lightning always strikes where two subterranean streams cross. That means that indicates that it's an area of high geopathic stress, where two subterranean streams come together underground.
Are you saying underground water?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm going to have to learn how to do that.
Dousing. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
And also they say that an old oak tree is not a good tree to hide under during a thunderstorm, because oak trees thrive at the crossing points of underground streams too and are frequently struck by lightning.
I think oak trees are struck more than any of them for lightning, aren't they?
And that's why, because if they thrive at geopathic stress zones and that lightning strikes where geopathic stress zones lie, you probably wouldn't want to live on a street called Oak Street either.
I'd probably just want to go to Elm Street.
Oh my God, I they live on Pine Street. I wonder if that's a problem.
I think Pine's okay.
Oh, you kids are crazy. All right, the shocking geopathic news number 5. If your light bulbs constantly blow, this is a sign of geopathic stress. Is that a geopathic shock or is it a crock?
Oh, Bob, I think that's a shock. I mean, just hopefully they're not the CFL bulbs, Bob. You know, you don't want those to blow up and break because they're full of mercury.
I think it's definitely a shock too, Rochelle.
Wow.
Yes, guys, it is true. And here are some more signs. If you find this going on around your home, not only light bulbs that constantly blow, insect infestations, dying plants or an area where plants will not grow. This one I thought was interesting. Areas where crawling plants thrive, such as ivy, is a great indicator of geopathic stress.
I'm glad we don't have any ivy.
Twisted trees or bulbous growth, bare patches on the lawn, crackling phones, high staff turnover, difficulty within a team, cracks in buildings, dampness, vandalism, clutter is attracted to this area, constant graffiti, and problem with neighbors.
Oh my God, I must live in a terrible place. I have the worst neighbors. I have the worst problem with them. They are constantly, constantly difficult people.
Do you have a hard time with those neighbors?
I do. Luckily, there's no graffiti at my home.
Well, that's good. At least the neighbors stayed away from writing on the walls.
Wow, so obviously all of these kind of signs are associated with bad energy and negativity. I just find this extremely interesting and very telling, yeah?
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think it's very interesting to go through this. This is something we haven't done before.
Oh my gosh, I've never heard too much about this geopathic stress. I'm going to have to go home and harmonize my home and look around. And your whole segment on sleeping in beds today was very, very enlightening. I just don't... What do you think, Bob?
I think it's time to go get a margarita.
I think it's time to end this, yes.
Oh my gosh, Bob. It's such a pleasure to see you and be with you. Every time I come here, it's just so exciting because I just love you so much.
All right.
Okay, that's enough, Rochelle. Let's just go get us a margarita and have a good time.
Absolutely. Well, folks, don't go anywhere. The fun will continue here behind the scenes. And we will be back with more patient safety tips and tools just for you.
That'll be fine. Enjoy yourself.
Oh, my gosh, Bob. Are you ready to get going?
Let's go.
Wow.
Do you want to stay warm and cozy this winter while saving money on your energy bills? Then you need a high-quality wood stove or fireplace from Clarendon Barns. Clarendon Barns, on Mayfield Road in Chardon, has a complete selection of wood, gas, coal, electric, and pellet stoves by Buck, Osborne, Lennox, and Napoleon to meet the needs of all you energy-conscious folks. These stoves are an ideal addition for virtually any room in your home and are a cost-efficient alternate to traditional energy sources. I stopped into Clarendon Barns the other day and was amazed at the selection of hearth accessories too. And as for Paul, my friend, he has a great selection of fire pits for outside too, as well as Eden Pure's slim, space-saving heaters that can keep any room warm and toasty. So don't shiver and squander money on high utility bills this winter. Visit Clarendon Barns, 13065 Mayfield Road, also known as Route 322 in Chardon, Ohio, just 1 mile east of Route 44. That's Clarendon Barns, C-L-A-R-I-D-O-N, Clarendon Barns. Call 440-285-2509. That's 440-285-2509. 2509 or visit ClarendonBarns.com. You're listening to Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio, and I am your hostess, Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety. Lots of info stuffed into today's show, don't you think? And I've got more in store next week as I continue with another wireless technology tale with a guest from England. She is a mom whose teenage daughter killed herself recently because she was so sensitive to the Wi-Fi in her school that she could no longer function, which resulted, instead of sympathetic teachers who continued to give this young girl detentions. I want to share this with you as kind of a follow-up or a part two of today's Hazard of the Week. More and more people are falling ill due to the untested, or let's say undisclosed, health ramifications due to electromagnetic frequencies and radio frequency exposure. So I hope you come back for that. Meantime, if you are part of a group of any kind, a church, club, association, or a hospital, invite me to speak. Our 2016 calendar is filling up, and the topic of healthcare and patient safety is applicable to every single person on the planet. I can guarantee your crowd will come away with lots of tips and tools they can immediately use. So call me to set a date. 440-725-5462. That's 440-725-5462. And be sure to visit the website this week, speakupandstayalive.com, and check out the EMF meters I mentioned at the beginning of the program. And of course, get your own signed copy of the book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide. And that can be found at the shop page, on the shop page at the website, speakupandstayalive.com. And if you want to listen to more outstanding programs on all kinds of fascinating topics, from health to business to pets to spirituality, head over to my very own intranet radio station. It's called speakuptalkradio.com. speakuptalkradio.com. I know you'll enjoy the programming we have in store for you. Well, by the time you do all of this, it will be next week again. So come back and tell your friends to join you. Same time, same place, but oh, never the same information. Until then, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, and I am your guide to safe and successful healthcare and hospital encounters.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.